Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Thankful for Jesus, bro.
Amen, amen. Also with us is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed in the Lord.
Well, praise God. And if you guys are listening today, right when this show aired, it is airing the day after Christmas, when many, many people celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. So we are really, really excited because we get a lot of emails this time of year that have to do with the story of Christmas and what have to do with what people think Christmas means, where they believe the origins come from, some things that are really out of left field. And unless you did a deep dive into the Google sphere, you would never find a lot of this stuff unless you go to JesusIsSavior.com and David J. Stewart, who is really bad at actually putting where his references are, especially if he takes them ever from other videos he may see and then not give any sort of credence to where they came from. But nonetheless, I was reading a few articles this week, Joe, and a number of those articles quoted him as where Nimrod's birthday was, or maybe Saturnalia or Mithra. And one of the things that I have found when it comes to this discussion, okay, whether or not, you know, December 25th, let's say, is a good date, I have found personally that so many believers, when it comes to this issue, instead of really doing their due diligence and researching things and trying to find source material, sadly, they will copy and paste propagated nonsense that actually, you want to know its source? Comes from Zeitgeist, okay? And so they will
Satanic source, yeah.
Oh, totally. And they will take parallels from, like, Mithra and say, look, Mithra's birthday was on December 25th. But then when you go and look at the source material and say, where are they finding this? I can't find this anywhere. You realize how bad, first of all, Zeitgeist's source material was. And if you're looking, by the way, if you're looking for an expose on that, Elliot Nesh has, I believe, the best one that's online. And we have a couple articles.
Elliot did a great job on that.
Or at least one article we have on our website about Zeitgeist. If you guys really look at where their source material was. And guys, that's one of the things that we are really, really, we believe to be very important when it comes to your scholarship and when it comes to putting things out, is where's your source material?
Yeah, Zeitgeist quotes a bunch of Freemasons and Worlds of Dogma, you know, a bunch of Masonic type material that doesn't have any source material documenting their supposed research.
Yeah, or Archaeus, right?
Right. Yeah, people that have demons, they or admit they're in touch with spirits and.
That has no source material either. And guys, that's actually what we have found. And I'm telling you right now, that is what I have found online when it comes to the Mithra, you know, birthday of December 25th and celebrating Mithra. And for me, when we go through these things, and I'm going to have Joe go more at length here, but dealing with emails and reading the things, a lot of times when I get those emails, it's nothing documented. It's just, this is what I found when I researched, which typically is, this is what I found when I saw a meme. This is what I found when I saw this one article online. And this is what is sad, is that instead of researching things and actually weighing it under the evidence, we just go, oh yeah, that's right. And you think you have this secret knowledge that honestly is wrong. It's not correct. It doesn't line up with the source material, especially if you're talking about Zeitgeist. And sadly, a lot of the parallels that you're grabbing and saying, hey, this is so much like Jesus. See, it's a pagan holiday. Sadly, a lot of times what's happening is you're taking really bad source material, just like Bill Maher was caught doing. You know, he laid out all the same arguments that you see in Zeitgeist. And it's really embarrassing. And I'll be honest with you, this happened to me. I was having a discussion at a Christmas Eve dinner where we were celebrating Christmas with my wife's family, not Joe's side. And somebody came out and they were throwing out all this Zeitgeist material. And he said, I've done the research. And I said, no, you didn't. You watch Zeitgeist. And let me explain to you what the real research says. Okay. And still, sadly, that guy has never looked at me the same way. And it was an awkward confrontation because it was like he was caught with his pants down. Because the fact was, he was watching a video online and thought that that equated to actually looking at the source material and the research. So one thing that we want to do is actually look at these things. Was Nimrod's birthday on December 25th? No, it wasn't. Okay. I mean, I guess it could be, but in the scriptures, you can go to Genesis chapter 10, verse 8 through 10, and hear about him being beget, and when he was beget, or that he was beget, all right, that he was born, and you won't find anything concerning December 25th, okay? It's just not there. It's nonsense, guys. It's nonsense, and that's exactly what it is. So that's my little rant. Joe, what do you have for us?
No, it's a blessed rant, brother. You know, it's interesting because a lot of these guys, one of the things I've seen them do, and it's really clear with the Zeitgeist, is they'll take some pagan paradigm, and then oftentimes these pagans have been influenced by Christianity. They'll try to absorb Christ, like the Gnostics, you know, and a lot of the mystery religions, they absorb Christ, and all of a sudden they'll quote something from one of these pagan sources that comes way after Christ that was influenced by Christianity, and they'll reverse it and say, yeah, well, look, this religion predates Christianity and influenced the Christian, you know, da-da-da-da. And it's so easy to disprove, and that's one of the reasons Zeitgeist kind of fell on its face after a few years, is too many people were onto what was going on. And, for instance, Nimrod is a good example, not saying it was Zeitgeist, but that he was born on the December 25th, you know, is a joke. I mean, where is that written? Where do we have it? In the annals of Nimrod somewhere? You know, it's certainly not from the Bible, you know. There's not a lot of history on Nimrod. So it's quite interesting, and there's a lot of fake history that was made about him. In fact, Ralph Woodrow, who had a huge book about Babylon and Roman Catholicism and so forth, and we definitely believe Babylon's got some, you know, there's some Babylonian ties to Roman Catholicism, but he wrote a book debunking his book because so many of the ties that he made were unfounded. Well, he'd had to do the same thing with Christmas. He wrote a book called Christmas Revisited because his prior view, and praise God for his humility there.
Yeah,
he was saying, hey, I was making all kinds of, you know, connections that I thought were connections, but looking at greater scholarship more deeply at it, I realized, wow, I was way off, and I'm glad he wrote that book. But a lot of people don't look as deeply, and the scholarship is more shoddy, or they read something in some, you know, book or by somebody else, and they just parrot it as though it's truth, you know? And certainly, there's things to be concerned about. I mean, we had our whole first show this week was on Monday, was on how Santa Claus is telling your kids that there's this big fat guy kind of come reward them. He's looking at them day and night. He's reward them, and they need to get excited about it. And they need to, you know, focus on doing good or bad based on Santa Claus, and he's going to reward you for doing right and wrong. Is a horrible thing, I believe, to put in a child's mind. And I believe that if you're going to celebrate Christ's birth this time of year and celebrate the 25th just to take a day, we're not sure when he was born exactly, that you shouldn't confuse your child and get them more excited about this lie. You shouldn't lie to your child year after year after year, and then they become disappointed. I gave Sue Lee, all of us know Sue Lee, we love her, and her and Jack just moved to, we love Jack too, they just moved to Tennessee, been here since the beginning. He was an elder for several years, been at our fellowship for, wow, 29 years, and she said, even as a pastor's daughter, she was taught about Santa Claus. In case she missed that thing, I'll just say 20 more seconds on that. She was devastated when she realized Santa Claus didn't exist, and it devastated her Christian faith. Then she said that she turned away from the Lord. She thought, well, Christianity must be a myth too. And it's a big part of her testimony. And how many people has that happened to? It's not worth it, even if it's one kid, one soul. And I'm sure it's plenty. So first off, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. We shouldn't lie to our kid year after year after year, telling them that there's a big fat dude rewarding them every year. Anyway, so we do believe that's kind of a sad development that Satan has used to distract people from Jesus. But if we can lift up Jesus, we can worship him. We can have all these, you know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Silent Night, Holy Night, all these beautiful songs that exalt Jesus this time of year. And the world's listening. And a lot of people have come to Christ through coming to Christmas plays and hearing Christmas caroling and hearing the message of Christ and being open, being, you know, you guys went out witnessing just recently with a bunch of candy canes, Chad, and passing out the gospel with the candy canes. And who knows how many potentially millions of people have come to Christ. There's been a lot of good fruit from Christmas. But by mixing the junk in, I say get rid of the junk and stick with Jesus. But as far as, you know, some of the claims that are out there, right now, I think it's important that we realize, you know, that as far as like maybe we should talk about the date or even should we celebrate Christ's birth, you know, from the get-go. And well, guess what? One of the most wonderful celebrations that ever took place on earth was of Christ's birth. Angels celebrated Christ's birth. They worshiped God. They told the shepherds who celebrated Christ's birth. It was the Magi came and worshiped Jesus after he was born when they finally got there. And so God had the Magi, God had shepherds, the lowest rung of society at the time, because the gospel was for the poor as well. Angels who are higher than us, all celebrating Christ's birth. So to say we should celebrate Christ's birth, that's unbiblical to say that you shouldn't celebrate his birth. Am I saying you have to celebrate his birth? No, absolutely not. You have freedom in Christ, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But some say, well, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Well, we don't know what day he was born on, but you don't know that he wasn't born on December 25th. You can't say that with any authority, you know? Well, it says the shepherds, you know, were in the fields, and the shepherds would never be in the fields on December 25th. I've been to Israel a number of times. It's not that cold in December. And guess what? A lot of shepherds are nomads. They're nomadics. They don't have big buildings. They'd be out with their flocks because they couldn't put them anywhere, you know? So yeah, there could definitely be, in fact, they would probably be the poorest of the shepherds. So it might've been December 25th for all we know. So a lot of the arguments are just fallacious, and people state things and they, like, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's birthday was on December 25th, as you were saying, Chad, and they state it dogmatically. And that's what breaks my heart is, you know, and I'm not saying, I mean, I've been preaching a long time, so I'm sure I've gotten some things wrong, you know, but I try to be careful, you know. And it's shoddy scholarship to just throw a thing out there as though it's truth. And how many times do we see on the internet somebody quotes something and it's quoted a million times over and ends up being false? So we have to be very, very careful. I think there's some very interesting things. We don't know exactly when he was born, but it's very possible that he was conceived on that time, if not born. It's possible that he was born on that time. We don't know. But whatever day you pick, I don't care what date you're going to pick, you're going to find something on a pagan calendar that's going to also be a pagan holiday. So it's almost like, well, you can't celebrate his birth. Well, guess what? God doesn't say you can't worship the one true God on some particular day because pagans do something on that day somewhere else. That's just ridiculous reasoning, number one. But also, it's ridiculous reasoning to say this December 25th was a pagan holiday that, you know, was just repurposed for worshiping Jesus. And by the way, if pagans are worshiping something and doing something evil on a certain holiday, and there's an opportunity where your kids are going to get wrapped up in there because it's so popular and everything, I have no problem with saying, you know what? Let's do something else on that day and let's worship Jesus. In fact, guess what? We do that. We do that with Halloween.
Yeah.
Every Halloween. Guess what? Kids just love Halloween. I loved it as a kid, man. Painted myself really dark, all kinds of stuff. Went out, partied and everything else before I became a Christian. And guess what? Kids are still allured by that heavily. So guess what? We have a harvest festival where we come together. We thank the Lord for providing our needs and meeting our needs according to his riches and glory. Sometimes we have worship music. We get together and we have fun. We don't dress up good, bad, or at all. We just worship Jesus. Well, you should do that. You should be at home just waiting for everybody to go by your home and get upset and everything. And no, we also, a lot of us pass out tracts. We witness and so forth in different ways. So I don't have a problem if they did take the 25th, some pagan holiday, and said, let's point to Jesus instead. But the facts are, it wasn't even on a holiday that they were even trying to usurp at that, not a specific, that specific date. In fact, we'll get into that. In fact, some say, well, it was the worship of Saturnalia. And that was, you know, worship. Saturnalia was celebrated by the Roman Empire on December 25th. And the Christians decided, you know, let's also, you know, let's worship Jesus on that date. There's a problem with that. Saturnalia, if you look it up, was celebrated between December 17th and the 23rd, not on the 25th. Okay. So that's another, you know, that's stated over and over again. You'll see that throughout the internet in articles and people saying, oh, that date is evil. Wrong. Wrong date, okay? Others say, well, December 25th was a pagan holiday known as a Sol Invictus, okay? Well, they're right. Sol Invictus was on December 25th. But the problem is, it was later than when Christians were already celebrating Jesus' birth on December 25th or believed him to have been born on December 25th, okay? In fact, it's interesting. It wasn't until late in the 3rd century that the Roman Emperor Aurelian AD 274, in the 3rd century, that it was became a holiday where you would worship Sol Invictus on the 25th of December. The problem is, that's too late. That came later than when Christians were already recognizing that Jesus had, many of them believed, the 25th was a day of celebration. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, quote, the origins of the holiday and its December date lie in the ancient Greco-Roman world, as commemorations probably began sometime in the 2nd century. That would be one something, okay? Almost 100 years or so before Sol Invictus. Okay, another problem is, according to the church father, Sextus Julius Africanus, he determined that Christ was born on December 25th. That's what he believed. And that was in the 2nd century. Okay, that was prior to, that was 50 years before the Romans picked that day to worship or celebrate Sol Invictus. We know, listen to this, according to Encyclopedia Britannica, quote, the Roman Christian historian Sextus Julius Africanus dated Jesus' conception to March 25th, the same date upon which he held that the world was created, which after 9 months in his mother's womb would result in a December 25th birth. Okay, so we're talking about long before that date, there were Christian even leaders recognizing December 25th as the date of Christ's birth. I'm not saying they were accurate. That's not the point. I don't know when Jesus was born for sure. I'm only saying that you can't say that Christians got that date from pagans, okay? And it's sad because that's just what's said, and it puts people in bondage, you know? It's like the Judaizers, man, putting people in bondage. No, you can't have a Christmas tree. Oh, no, Jesus couldn't have been born. That's a pagan holiday. And people just believe it, and then they run with it, and they spread it. All of a sudden, you have fighting amongst families and people that, oh, you can't even think, you know, you're mixing pagan worship with the worship of Christ. It caused a lot of unnecessary pain and hardship, so I think it's important that we look at the facts. In fact, Africanus died about 240 AD, 3 years before the Roman celebration of Sol Invictus. That's kind of interesting when you think about it. Also, think of this. I think this is quite interesting as well, is if you can't do certain things on certain days because pagans did certain things on certain days, you can't do anything on any day. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because Sunday was named after the sun god. Sunday is, you know, given to the sun god. Monday is moon day. That was the worship of the moon, okay? Moon day. Tuesday was named after Tyr, okay? That was a Norse and German god of combat. Tuesday was from Tyr day. Wednesday was from Woden, okay? Woden day or Odin. Thursday was Thor's day. Thor's day. Friday was Frigg day and Saturday was Saturn's day. All these were gods. I mean, think about it, you know? So, oh man, you shouldn't worship on Sunday. That was a sun god day, says the person that worships on Saturday, which is the Saturn god day. You know? It's like, it's ridiculous, you know? It's like, this never stops. And the Lord doesn't want us to be in bondage, guys. He wants our hearts. He wants to love Him. He wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. Mm-hmm. Realize we've been set free. You know, we take some strong stands here, you know, at Good Fight Ministries, Blessed Hope Chapel, where the scriptures are clear, we're clear. Where scriptures don't make statements, we don't want anybody to be in bondage. We come very strongly against those who would put people under the law of Moses. We also warn people, don't follow those who put you under man-made laws that aren't in Scripture, that aren't based on scriptural truth and principles. Yeah, don't go beyond what's written. Amen. So, by the way, I think this is interesting, too. Think about it this way. What's being celebrated by the Jews right now? What day is being celebrated by the Jews, or what holidays, I should say?
Hanukkah.
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 Jesus celebrated that. Right,
Jesus Feast celebrated Hanukkah.
Yep,
and guess what? Is Hanukkah? John. Well, Christmas isn't mentioned in the Bible either. God never commanded Christmas to be worshipped in the Bible or Christmas to be celebrated in the Bible. Yeah, but He never commanded the celebration of Hanukkah in the Bible either. In fact, it was an extra biblical holiday. It was developed about 165 BC. That was after the Old Testament was written, so it's not in the Old Testament. That was during the Maccabean or a result of what happened in the Maccabean revolt when, and I don't want to go into all that because I know I've only got so much time here, but in a nutshell, during the time of the Maccabees and their revolt against the Greeks, and they secured the temple, and it was pretty powerful. I remember Mel Gibson said he was going to make a movie about that revolt. He has some bloody movies, so that'd be brutal because that was a bloody battle with the Maccabeans taking over the temple again and so forth. Well, it's because it was defiled, you know, previous to that by, you know, I'm going to attempt to get all in the history, and I can't do that. But I'll just say this, that when they secured the temple and they began to relight the menorah, the candelabra, the menorah, had nine candles. You know, the menorah that you see historically with nine candles was in the temple. And for them, or in regard to how they looked at it, and is that they only had a little bit of oil. They thought it would barely last for a little bit of time. But it lasted for 8 days, which was long enough to give them time to make more oil, according to the biblical mandate. So the Maccabeans lit all nine of those candles, and it lasted 8 days, time to make more. So they would celebrate that as a miracle. Well, I don't have time to go into it all, but if you go in John chapter 8, 9, and 10, what you see is that Jesus goes to the Hanukkah celebration. He's going to a holiday that was not in the Bible, that wasn't mentioned by God. Oh, he must be being influenced by the pagans. Because, by the way, that wouldn't have happened if the Greeks didn't take over the temple, those pagans didn't take over, the Maccabeans wouldn't have revolted, and the Maccabeans didn't know Yahweh the way they ought to have, so it's a pagan holiday. Wrong. It says, at that time, the feast, this is in John 10, 22 and 23, at that time, the feast of dedication, that's Hanukkah, that's Hebrew for dedication, by the way, it was also called the Festival of Lights. Think about that, guys. It's the Festival of Lights. Took place at Jerusalem. Goes on to say in the scripture, it was winter. Right? That's when we celebrate Christ's birth. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews were gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, guess what? They knew who he claimed to be. That was something that, you know, we read throughout the narrative of scripture going up to these chapters, and they were rejecting him. He already had said, you know, I'm saying these things that you might be saved, but you're unwilling to come to me that you might have life and so forth, and that the scriptures testify of me, on and on and on. But it's interesting because guess what Jesus had done? He had pointed to himself as the light of the world. They're celebrating the lighting of the candles and the oil. And just as he did on another holiday, right? We talked about the Feast of Tabernacles when they pour out water in a recent typology message I just gave, and how Jesus says, you know, I'll give you the water of life. He went to, that was a biblical holiday though. And he pointed out that he's the water of life. Well, guess what happens here? He goes to Hanukkah, which wasn't prescribed by God, where they're celebrating the supernatural light that was in the temple. And whether that even happened or not, we don't know. You know, that came a little bit later in history, that rendition. So we don't even know if what they were celebrating actually, what they celebrated that had happened the way they believed it. We don't know for sure. Could have been handed down. We don't know. But we do know this. Jesus used that holiday to point to himself. And he had healed the blind man in John chapter 9 on the run-up to this. And everybody was talking about it. By the time you get to John 10, they knew the events that led up to Hanukkah. This was that's why, tell us who you are. Because this blind man, all I know is I was blind, now I see, you know, his testimony. Yeah. It was a powerful thing. And it was in that context that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that believes in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So he was saying, I'm the light of the world. You know, you need to be looked to me, not to, you know, this holiday. He used that holiday to point to himself. So if Jesus could use Hanukkah, which isn't mentioned in the Bible, to point to himself, how much more can we use his birth, which is celebrated in the Bible, to point to Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. You know, I think it's quite clear, you know. So I praise God for that example.
Just a bunch of Nimrods, you know.
Another interesting reason that the 25th is kind of a cool date, we don't know for sure, you know. If we're going to pick a date, it's about as good a date as you're going to find, I think, because in Jewish tradition, when a prophet died, they believed it was the same date as he was conceived, you know. Obviously, that's, you know, not, can't be absolutely true, but that was like a Jewish tradition. When a prophet dies, that's when he was conceived. Well, Christ died at Passover. Okay, you go from Passover, if that's the date he was conceived, you go from Passover, it brings you to about Christmas Day. Okay, that's not, you know, reason as to that makes it true. No, it's just kind of fascinating. But Hanukkah is celebrated this time of year when he declared himself as the light of the world. When did he become the light of the world? When he came into the world, right? When he was born, John 1:1 talks about the beginning was the Word, the Word was God, the Word was God. Talks about he's the light of life. He lights the heart of every man, everyone that comes to the world. So I just think it's beautiful that this time of year, I think, is a great time to, you know, celebrate his birth. And also, let's keep in mind Christian liberty. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. We have to make sure, because I'm going to tell you right now, if Chad didn't like Christmas trees and Tony didn't like to, you know, even focus on Christmas at all, guess what? we're going to get along great still. We love each other.
Amen.
We're going to be brothers, and we're going to get along great and agree to disagree. These are areas that we shouldn't divide over. And the only reason we're dealing with this is the same reason we have to deal with people that say, you have to keep the Sabbath or you have the mark of the beast, you know? And we'll say, no, there's no Bible verse that says a new covenant Christian must keep the Sabbath. You know, in fact, there's scriptures where it says, let no one judge you according to a Sabbath day. And so we'd have some concerns about that, and we'd have to show people scripture to set them free. Those who think that they can't eat certain foods, you know, I can't eat pork, you know, and they're in bondage. We'll show them scripture, but we'll discuss it. Because Paul told us in Romans 14, he elaborated on the liberty that Christians are to enjoy with both food and with holidays. He says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He who gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and he gives thanks. He gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or any of you show contempt for your brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So the scriptures say, let us be fully convinced in our minds. So be convinced in your own mind. He who observes the day, you know, does the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. And I think Romans 14:1, I think this is an overlooked verse sometimes in this text by people. Listen to what it says. Now accept one another, accept one who is weak in the faith. Catch that, guys? Say someone believes, no, I can't celebrate Christmas, or I can't have a Christmas tree, or I can't eat pork, or I can't worship on this day. Now accept one who is weak in the faith. And the weak one is the one who thinks he can't do certain things that are free. He says, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. So we want to make sure that we speak the truth, that we go over these issues through scripture, but that we don't condemn one another. And by the way, there's a lot more things I'd like to say about that, but I want to close with this. You know that candelabra? You know that menorah? There's nine, but eight of those candles represent the 8 days. That last candle was a picture of Christ. It was used to light all the other candles. In the Hebrew, it's called the shamash. Guess what that means? Servant. It's the servant candle. Jesus is the servant of the Lord that brings light to the world. Let's use this season to be a light, because Jesus lit us up with himself, and he told us that we're the light of the world. Let's bring the light of Christ into the world, celebrating the fact that he came into the world and that he is Lord of all.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.